following message is a presentation of Valley Metro Church, a community of believers dedicated to knowing God and making Him known.
Well, this morning, we're continuing with the journey of Joshua and the chosen people. We've been looking over the last few weeks on how they came out of Egypt, which represented a place of our past. Egypt is where we were from. It's a place of bondage, and God delivers us from Egypt. And the desert represented a place where God has to work some stuff out. Some stuff needs to stay in Egypt that needs to stay in the desert because there's no place for it in the promised land. And as we journeyed along in the book of Joshua, and today we're in Joshua chapter 6, they finally crossed the Jordan River and they got to their first city. And this city was impenetrable. The walls were so thick and it was an insurmountable opportunity. They could not get through this city. They're looking at the city. They didn't have a plan in place when God Almighty shows up and says, "This is how it's going to be done." Now, I spent some time with the Lord this week on this passage, and it was really, really sweet. I really feel that God gave me a download from heaven. You know how back in the days, Napster, you used to be able to download stuff and everybody was sharing stuff? I feel like God gave me a download on this. We're calling it today the Jericho Principles. And I hope that the download He gave me can be downloaded to you. It's all in the Word, but it's some really great insights, and I just thank God for sharing some of these with me. I want to share them with you because I believe these Jericho principles that we're going to look at here, if you apply these to your life, you will find ways to be victorious in your conquests. Okay? There's some radical spiritual principles that are happening here, and it has to do with how we overcome, and when obstacles are in the way, how do we see them, and how do we respond to them, and when do we move forward in faith, and when do we stop, and when we move forward in faith, how do we move forward in faith? This is really important stuff. So if you're a note taker, I encourage you to jump in on some of these Jericho principles. But if you have your Bible, Joshua chapter 6, we're going to look at this in sections. And this is picking up where we left off last week. It starts out, "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carrying trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in.'" I love how God starts this. Joshua is no doubt looking at this city, and they've had battles out in the desert, but nothing like this. They've never had a deal with a fortified city. People that have been there a long time got some really thick walls. And I want to set this up. When you think of Joshua taking a city, some of you in your heart might go, "Well, isn't that wrong? Isn't that mean? Or what about those poor people in that city?" You know, you might have that little check and wondering what's going on. A little quick setup. If you had an understanding of the way the Canaanite people lived, they were some of the most heinous sin that you can imagine. I've been to Israel a few times. They still have excavated these altars where they would do Baal worship and offer babies into the burning fire. I mean, I could go on and on about the nature of the people. I don't want to do that. All that to say is the level of sin and depravity among the Canaanites was horrendous. And throughout the Bible, there's this sense of God's cup of wrath. And it comes up again and again, like the Israelites saying, "God, when is your cup of wrath going to be filled? How long are you going to put up with these people, God?" And you see this theme when you read your Bible, you'll see that theme coming up again and again. With the Canaanites, the cup was full. And now it was time. So God was doing a consequence to the Canaanites, and He was also giving the people the land. It seemed impossible looking at this city. I love the way God shows Joshua. Picture the scene. It's the Lord saying to Joshua, "Hey, Joshua, you see it? You see I gave you the city?" The Lord's talking in past tense here. The Lord's not saying, "Hey, Joshua, I want you to think that I am going to give you the city." He's saying, "Joshua, do you see? I've given it over to you. I've already done it. Now, most people in the natural would say, no, Lord, you haven't. It's still sitting there with its big walls and its armed warriors on the inside. The word in Hebrew here is ra'ah. It's a Hebrew word to imagine. And God Almighty is telling Joshua, Joshua, come here. See that city right there? I've given it to you. Are you seeing it? And I think Joshua might have started out saying, no, Lord, I'm not seeing it. No, Joshua, look a little closer. I want you to look with spiritual eyes. I want you to look knowing, Joshua, remember that you are partnering with me, God would say. It's not about God partnering with us. It's us partnering with God. Joshua, you're partnering with me. I'm telling you, Joshua, I've given you the city. Now, Joshua, do you see it? Oh, yeah, Lord. I'm beginning to see it now. Do you see how that worked out? It's so important to be able to see. Faith, by definition, is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of the unseen. I haven't seen it yet, but I believe it. I believe if we're seeing only in the natural, it's hard to see what God sees. God is telling Joshua, Joshua, I want you to see what I'm seeing. Because if you see what I'm seeing, you're going to walk forward in faith. If you see what you're seeing, you're only going to see in the natural, you're only going to see in the flesh, and you're going to say, there's no way we're going to be able to pull this off. In fact, there was a prior generation of Israelites who did go in the land and did check out the land and did check out this city. And you know what they came back saying? No way. They've got big cities with big walls and big people. No way. That's what the last generation said. Joshua was looking at the same city. And God's like, I want you to look at this one differently. Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? It's really important to do that. God wants us in this concept here. Joshua, do you see what I'm seeing? The concept is, can you envision this beyond what it currently is? Can you see it in the spirit realm? Can you imagine it the way I'm telling it to you, beyond the physical realm, beyond the present reality, and seeing it what it can be and what it will be? This is important because in your journeys in life, there are going to be things you have to walk out. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be deserts to cross. There's going to be Jordan rivers to cross. There's going to be walls that need to come down in your life and in mine. And I believe these Jericho principles apply. God starts out saying, Joshua, before we do anything here, I need you to see it the way I see it. Are you seeing it yet, Joshua? Do you see how God starts out? If you don't see it, you'll never walk at it. You know, Peter looking at Jesus on the storm when they're out on the boat. The others saw what might be a ghost, but Peter's like, that's Jesus. And since I know that's my Jesus, I'm going to get right out of this boat in the storm and I'm going to walk right over to him. You think of that kind of faith, it comes from seeing Jesus or seeing what God's trying to do. It's an important principle. And the first note, if you're a note taker this morning, on these Jericho principles, these principles you can apply to your life for overcoming obstacles all the way through. I mean, these are amazing, but the first one is that faith partners with God and sees what God sees. Faith partners with God. We talked last week about asking God to jump in our boat and partner with us and everything. And we said last week when Joshua went before the angel of the Lord saying, are you for us or against us? And the answer was neither. In other words, don't think God's always jumping on our side or against. The question is, are we on God's side? And if we're on God's side, then no weapon formed against us will prosper. That's the thesis for believers in the Bible. The first point is that faith, it actually partners with God. This is God's will that they take this city. He's not making this up. It's not his own aspiration. It's not an ambition. He's partnering with God. Faith partners with God and sees what God sees. Joshua, are you seeing it? You can put your name in there. Ask God, what are you supposed to be seeing? I don't know what he has before you right now. I don't know what your obstacles are. Everybody is dealing with different obstacles, tribulations, or rivers you got to cross, things that might seem a little insurmountable. But through faith, all things are possible. And the Bible says that God has plans for us established from the foundations of the world and good works for us to execute and walk out. This is Old and New Testament understanding of God's will for his people. There is a hope and a future. I can't explain the details for everyone individually. I'm praying God and seeking, but there are things that God has for you, and the only way you're going to walk them out and execute, the only way is to begin partnering with God and literally see what he sees. God, would you show me? I know what it looks like in the natural, but in faith, I want to see what it's going to see. That's where he starts out. In Proverbs 29:18, Solomon says, where there is no vision, people perish. Because you got to see. If you're going to run at something, if you're going to run the race set before you with your eyes fixed on the prize, you got to see something. Do you see the prize? If you don't see anything, there's nothing to run at. But running the race with our eyes fixed on the prize, the author and perfecter of our faith, I got it. I'm seeing it now, God. You see how that works? It's really important to see. And if you don't see, to pray, God, would you open the eyes of my heart? Would you give me eyes to see in the spiritual realm what I need to be aiming at so I can walk out in faith? Because in the natural, it doesn't look good. They were in the same boat. It did not look good in the natural. Nothing to celebrate there. But in the spiritual, seeing what God sees. Oh, there's a lot to celebrate on that. It moves on to verse 3. It's talking about the actual battle plan. Now, this has got to be the oddest battle plan in all recorded history. Think about this. So the warriors are with Moses in the desert and with Joshua. They finally like, okay, it's time. All right, God, our first city. Do we get to do the flame and arrows today, God? We've been waiting to do flame and arrows all those years. Today we get to do them, right? No flame and arrows. What about that battering ram? We go up to the, you know, the big gates they have and we just keep smashing them till we get to use the battering ram today, God? No battering ram. What about our spears? I mean, what are we going to use? Sharpen our swords? No. That's not the way we're going to do this. The way you're going to win this battle is you're going to walk around the city. Huh? The oddest battle plan in recorded history, which goes to show the way you and I fight our battles or work through our struggles, so to speak, not against people, but about, it's not about flesh and blood, it's about powers and principalities, the Bible says. We're not talking about a carnal war, but the way you and I do that tends to be in the natural. And God is saying, no, it's a different kind of battle plan. Isaiah 55, God's saying, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. In fact, my ways are so far above yours as the heaven is above the earth. God's got a whole different vantage point, a whole different way of looking at it. And God's like, no, put the battering rams away, put the flaming arrows away. The way we're taking this city, guys, is you're walking around it. Now, that might sound pretty interesting, but that's not the first time this has come up in the Bible. Abraham was told in Genesis 13:17, God's telling him, Abraham, the father of faith, by the way, get up, walk throughout the length and the breadth of the land because I am going to give it to you. God is telling Abraham, the father of faith, the father of a nation, the father of Israel, the foundation of our faith. He told him early on, I want you to walk it, and basically what you walk, I'm going to give you. Now, this is not literally real estate acquisitions, guys. We're not teaching about how to be a real estate mogul in 3 weeks or less. We're not talking about acquiring massive real estate, but there is a spiritual principle to this. God is telling Abraham, walk it out, and what you walk, I am going to give you. God is telling the Israelites, this city, the walls don't look like they're going to fall. In the natural, you're right, but this is where you're going to begin. You're going to get up in faith, and you're going to start walking around this entire city. There's something about this principle. In the book, The Circle Makers, it talks about praying circles around your biggest dreams and also circles around your biggest fears, because those two things will set us back or propel us. There is something about literally taking spiritual authority and walking the land. Abraham did it. Jericho, it's happening. There's something about walking the perimeter of your home, walking prayerfully, walking your neighborhood, prayerfully walk in the spiritual realm. In the natural, it might not seem like much. I'm sure this didn't seem like much either. But it's taking a spiritual authority, and as God's people, they're walking with the Ark of the Covenant. They got the presence of God Almighty with them, as do New Testament believers with the indwelling Holy Spirit, and walking a perimeter and praying for God's will to be done. There's more power in this than we understand, and when we get to heaven looking back, I think we're going to go, I had no idea of some of these little spiritual opportunities I had. There's something about doing that. The second point this morning is to walk your perimeter in prayerful faith. Walk your perimeter on the job site, in the neighborhood, around your house. Who knows what else is going on in there in the spiritual realm? Who knows what other kind of stuff is happening? But you take authority. You be the priest of your home. You be the priest of your neighborhood. You start to do a prayer walk and start doing what they did. These guys were taking some spiritual authority over specifically the things that God wanted to do. In the movie Facing the Giants, if any of you guys saw it, great movie, there is an example of exactly this. The janitor of the school, his territory is the school. He's in the locker room. And he's walking through the locker room with no one around, after hours, taking spiritual authority. And he's going from locker to locker, putting his hands on the locker. And spiritually, in the natural, it looks crazy. Right? But in the spiritual realm, radically powerful, just like walking around Jericho, looked crazy, praying for each locker, for each person represented, and started going from locker to locker, praying over that. It's way after hours. Everyone's gone, but the coach looks down the hall and sees this guy. He's like, what in the world is he doing? And later on asks him, can I ask you, what were you doing? He said, I was praying for rain. I'm praying for rain. I'm praying for God's rain in this place. And he's walking from locker to locker, just taking a spiritual authority on a prayer walk, walking his perimeter. That's his perimeter. You have a perimeter too. Prayerfully walk your perimeter. It's a Jericho principle. It is one through which there is victory. Some people don't realize that sometimes you can win the war before the battle even begins. You realize that? Some battles can be won before the battle even begins. And in this case here, a prayer walk, taking authority. God, let your will be established here. Let us represent you as ambassadors. You've given us, all authority has been given unto you, and he's sending us and says, I'll be with you always, lo, till the end of this age. You know, there's some radical dimensions of our capacity as believers in the resurrected one, as sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ, to literally be ambassadors for him. And it's a radical dimension that some believers don't really go there, unfortunately. There's capacity. There's victory right there. We can win the war before the battle begins. So do that. Start walking your perimeters. I don't know what your perimeters are, but you have perimeters in your house, in your neighborhood, on your job site. Watch how it kind of starts to shift the atmosphere, so to speak, when God starts getting the glory that way. It certainly worked for Joshua and the Israelites, so I think it'll work for you. Moving on in verse 6. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. And when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets. And the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. And so he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. And then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing their trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord. And while the trumpets kept sounding, so on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. Okay, Joshua gets up in verse 7 and says, okay, guys, we've been waiting in the desert for a long time. We crossed the Jordan. We're waiting. We're not taking the city. We don't know how. We're going to wait. God finally says, Joshua, it's on. And Joshua gets up and tells the people, advance. This is important, guys, because you don't know what kind of faith you have until it's time to advance. Do you know that? I mean, you have all the faith in the world. I'm believing for this. I'm trusting. I'm standing. And you know, Oh, no, no, I got big, big faith. I got nothing but faith. I'm made out of faith. No, 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 no. Until it's time to advance. Whew. Then what kind of faith you got? You mean like go now? Like literally, like right now? You sure? Yeah, like literally right now. What kind of faith do you have to take a step now? Because that's faith. He's telling them, now's the time to advance. Like Israel in Egypt, they're waiting for God to deliver, waiting, waiting, waiting. And God says, guess what? Now's time, make haste, go, go. Don't let the bread rise. You don't got time to pack everything up. We are moving and you're moving in the morning and that's it. How's that for a quick, short revelation? Get up, grab your stuff, go, leave the rest behind. I will provide, I'm Jehovah Jireh, go. That's faith right there. He's telling them advance. And faith, by definition, has to have feet. If our faith doesn't have feet, then it's not faith by definition. Faith has to move. If faith doesn't move, it's only a belief. Faith has to have feet. It has to have move. It's got to act. It's got to have motion. There's got to be some work to it. There's an energy. There's an execution of faith. And without it, it's just a belief. Because you can believe and believe and believe and believe, but if you don't take a step in that belief, then it's really just a belief. But when it starts moving, that's faith in action. And that's the rewardable kind, and that's the only kind through which you can obtain victory. When we're talking about overcoming and conquering your Canaan, so to speak, when we're talking about these Jericho principles, this is really important. You might ask yourself, am I standing in faith or am I moving in faith? I certainly hope you're standing in faith, but there's times you need to move in faith, and I need to move in faith, and standing isn't going to get you there. It's time to move, time to get out of the boat in some areas. When God says jump, do you say why, or do you say how high? Because when God says it's time to move, it's time to jump, we got to be ready to go like that. That's that kind of advanced kind of faith. Third point this morning is that discern the times to stand in faith, order advance in faith. There are times when you just got to wait on the Lord because he's just telling you to wait, and you just wait on the Lord, and you just wait, and you pray, and you wait, and you pray. And there's other times, now, make haste, go, advance, just like the Israelites. They hadn't had a charge to advance the whole 40 years, and they've been waiting around. Well, I don't know when, God, I don't know when. Now, advance. No time to ask why. It's just time to start putting feet to the faith and start moving. Discern the times to stand in faith or to advance in faith. The other thing, this is an important little principle right here, is God's timing when it comes to the battles, the struggles. This is really interesting, but I think it has profound consequences. He tells them, look, you're going into battle, and what's appropriate in battle is to have a battle cry. That's probably the next question the soldiers got. If we can't use the battering ram and we can't use the flaming arrows, we get to do our battle cry, right? We've been practicing that thing for years in the desert. We're ready. Ah, charge, right? God's like, no, no battle cry. No battle cry. No flaming arrows. No battle cry? No. In fact, I want you to be silent. Silent? Yes. Only 7 priests are blowing a trumpet. Everyone, silent. Don't say a thing. We're going to walk around the city. And other than that trumpet blowing, silence. No one say anything. That's interesting. Is there an insight to that? I think there is. I think in our battles, there are times that we need to be silent. And there's other times we need to be loud and vocal. Nehemiah had an enormous obstacle in front of him, spiritual battle as well as a physical one, to rebuild a city where the people around him hated him and did not want him to succeed. And when he came to that city, the scripture is really clear. He told no one of his plan. Not saying anything. God showed me, I'm going to do that. There'll be a time where this is announced, but right now, silence. And he goes forward and he assesses the land and he checks out the disrepair of the city walls, and he's got this. There's going to be a time later on to talk about it. I just wonder, when we think about that, how many times well-intended believers, think about this yourself, that get ahead of God and start talking about things before we're supposed to talk about them. Maybe God shows you something, and maybe it's to be silent and pray about it. And then maybe there's a time where, hey, it's time to go public with this. And again, you got to work that out in your own life and pray about what that is. But I do believe we get ahead of God sometimes by just saying and going off on things where maybe God's showing you something to take it to the Lord in prayer. Maybe God shows you something about someone else, not to talk about it, but to take it to the Lord in prayer. There's a time. God's like, don't say anything. There's going to be a time. It's not right now. And so the fourth point this morning is exactly that. Learn when to battle silently and when to battle loudly. On the day of Pentecost, Peter got up. The day before, they were in closed rooms, closed doors, praying and seeking God, but also a little bit afraid. They just killed the Messiah and, you know, they might be coming after us too. The believers. There was a lot of zeal against the people of God, the people of the way. But the next day, Peter gets up, 3,000, stands up on the balcony. People of Jerusalem, listen up. Got to tell you about the Messiah. His name is Jesus. And you're like, whoa, where did that come from, Peter? There's a time to be still and quiet in prayer. And there's a time to prophesy and proclaim. And I believe our battles are the same way. So the passage goes on. Each day they walked around the city one time. The trumpets blew the whole time. You had the army, the guard in the front. You had the priest blowing the trumpets right in front of the ark. It's almost worship before the presence of God if you will look at the visual. Walking around the city with everybody silent and the army to the rear. It says on the seventh day, verse 15, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it is devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver, gold, and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and they shouted at the sound of the trumpet. And when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so every man charged straight into the city. They took the city. So the seventh day, you got seven times around, and everyone is waiting for that single, simultaneous trumpet blast. And on that note, according to God's obedience to what God said and faith in what God said, they shouted, and probably the loudest shout in recorded history. When you've been silent for all those days and you've been waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise and you're waiting, 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 and seven times around that city, everyone knows we are going to shout any minute now, but not yet, not yet, not yet. And they shouted as loud as they could. Now here I believe is where the miracle lies. God rewards faith. God rewards obedience. He always has. I believe this is an example of the supernatural power of God meeting the faith and obedience of his people. And when people do what God tells them to do in faith and obedience, I believe when they shout, God amplified that shout. Because we know somehow the walls crumbled and fell down. So either God simultaneously decided to send an earthquake, which it doesn't record here, or when people shouted in faith and obedience, God's like, I can multiply that. And somehow the decibels just started to rattle this foundation right off its base. And boof, all the walls came down. They collapsed. And the people went in. It says on every side. It's not like one little wall got a hairline crack and they squeaked their way in. No. People shouted. God must have magnified and amplified, because he can do that. And all the walls came down and all the people went straight in and they took the city. The walls totally collapsed. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards over a city, those who guard over it, guard it in vain. It's an amazing snapshot of God's sovereignty of protection over a city or over a nation. Or we can build it with God, or we can try to build it on our own. It's an amazing snapshot of God's economy when it comes to this. And then it goes on to say, everything is going to get destroyed. Rahab the prostitute and her whole family, they spared the spies. And because of that, God's saying, I want to honor those who honor me. and she gets honored in this place. In fact, if you look in the New Testament, you find that she is actually in the lineage of Jesus Christ. What do you say about that? I am so glad that we serve a God of new beginnings, huh? I am so glad that we serve a God who doesn't hold someone's past against them, as evidenced by Rahab and her story and the lineage. She protected the spies. In fact, we're going to close on this note. It'd be good if the worship team could come up. That would be great. Here's one thing that it says, and I think this is left out sometimes of the Jericho principle, and I think we need to really take this to heart. It says in verse 17, God says, look, I'm giving you the city, but you need to understand what to do with your victories. This is important. When God gives you a victory, when God gives you an increase, what do you do with it? Some people go, oh, it doesn't matter, does it? No, it matters. It's a Jericho principle. It's part of victory. It's part of the way God sees it. It's part of, I think, the way it's laid out right here. God is telling them, look, you're going to shout, you're going to enter the city. Before I go any further, God's saying, with how it's going to be done, let me just tell you something. When you go in and it looks like there's everything for the taking, I want you to know these things go here, everything else goes away. God is laying out a plan and he's talking about devoted things. God is saying certain things are devoted to me. God is saying certain things are devoted to me. And in this Jericho principle, what he's saying is that this is the first city. They're going to take the promised land. They're going to go into the land. This is the first city. God's like, the first city belongs to me. It's devoted. That's the terminology in the text here. And God is basically saying, I want you to know what to do with increase. If God gives you land and God gives you the city, don't ignore God because God is the source of the very gift. Does that make sense? This is important because in the story in the Gospels, we see Jesus with 10 lepers, and Jesus heals 10 lepers, and 9 run off and go party on. Awesome. And only one comes back. Only one comes back. It says, thank you. Thank you. Honoring God with the victory. Does that make sense? Coming back in honor. But so many go, I can do what I want with whatever I have and whatever, it's my life, my will, my way, my kingdom, and can go down a road. And I just want to explain, one of the Jericho principles right before the walls fell is God saying, understand what to do with this Jericho principle. There are certain things devoted to me. And if it has to do with your increase, Israel, blessing is for me, put it aside. I say that because the concept here is first fruits. It's something that Abraham did even before there was a law. Before the law, we see Jesus taught this concept of first fruits. This is something that I believe everyone needs to take to heart with God. This is not a heaven or hell issue, but it is a victory. This is a success or failure issue, I believe. I believe in the area of people's finances. I believe it is a success or failure answer because I think when we do things according to God's economy, he blesses, and if we don't, we might find out why aren't things working the right way. It's a kingdom principle, and the fifth point of our Jericho principle is this. God created the first fruits principle, and we should honor it. When God gives a victory, God gives you a city, God gives you breakthrough, you're praying for something, you're asking, honor God. Honor God with the way he blesses you. It's really just a heart condition. It's a personal thing of you and I trusting God. Do I trust God enough to do that? And I'd say if we trust God with our future, if we trust God with our eternity, we certainly should trust him with the areas of increase. And so that's something for you to pray about and take to heart. And as we close, I want you to think about this. I don't know if you've gotten a dream or a vision from the Lord in the sense that he's telling Joshua, look, I'm giving you the city. Do you see it? I'm already doing it. Do you see it, Joshua? I don't know what your battle or struggle might be right now or what your number one prayer request is. And I don't know if God's given you a vision. If he hasn't, pray for one because he wants to give you vision. He wants you to see spiritually a little further down the line than we currently see right now. We run a whole lot better that way. So if you haven't got a vision or an insight from God, ask him, God, would you do what you did with Joshua? Do you see that? I want to see, God. Help me to see so I can run in faith with greater definition. And if you do, my prayer is that we start applying these Jericho principles. Because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we're not looking at the battle spiritually, we're looking at it just physically. and we're not seeing what God sees, and we're not partnering with God, and we're not walking a perimeter, and we're not trusting him in these ways. And there's so many areas that, you know, you start failing one or two or three, and pretty soon we're not walking in any Jericho principles. And God's showing you, look, this is an impossible story right here. This conquest seems absolutely impossible. But God's like, if you'll do it my way, if you'll partner with me, and you'll walk it out for my will and for my glory, there's amazing victory ahead. Jesus said you'll always have tribulation. You know, some of you in the room, you're probably going through some tough things right now, some things that aren't very explainable. I want to tell you, we serve a God of purpose, a God of power, a God who rewards faith, and a God who rewards obedience. The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. When you love God and you're committed to him, he will see you through. If you're walking with God, you will get through. Sometimes people walk alone and they struggle for a long time. But if you're walking with God, genuinely, walking and staying step in the Spirit, you will be more than a conqueror. He will provide all of your needs according to his riches and glory. These are his promises. And so we're going to close in prayer right now.
This has been a presentation of Valley Metro Church. To hear more messages or to support future podcasts, please visit valleymetrochurch.com.